Harry Potter, the boy who lived.
Moving on. Well, I think I got this one.
Come to die again.
The boy who lived. Ask him to die.
What's cracking, everybody? Welcome to episode 135 of the Good Cracking Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Arnell Pearson, alongside my little Thai peanut. It's Xander. What's happening, baby?
What's up? What's up? Hey, how?
Hey, hello. What's popping? How's your week going, dude?
It's going good. Couldn't get my haircut today, so that's why I'm wearing a hat.
getting real tired of that, huh?
I'm getting real tired of it.
Man, that's okay. You still look beautiful either way. You know what I'm saying? Let's go.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
It's okay. We also have our little cherry blossom, Garrick Bartholomew Eaton. How are you doing, baby boy?
Yo, did you guys see the video that I sent to Crack Boys this morning?
The magpie, yep. the return of the magpie. The
motherfucking magpie's back, bro. He's back. Bro, he's in my house. He's been trying to fuck my house up since Thursday.
I was going to say, so for the people at home that don't know the context behind this, magpie, can you Lord, explain dude. To the people what is going on with this fucking magpie?
Okay, so I don't know if it's just like magpie mating, like nesting season, or if that's like a thing. I know it happens around summertime. But basically, like, over the last couple of days, like this week specifically, like a bunch of fucking magpies have showed up in and around my yard. They've been pestering my cats, but like more specifically, I have like this hanging plant. It's like a faux plant that like sits in front of and like off to the side of my Ring doorbell up front. And since Thursday, there has been one magpie in particular that like has literally keeps hopping up on the railing right in front of like my camera and then triggering the camera and then just going ham on this fucking plant that's like next to my wall. Like if you watch the latest video, dude, it's like hanging on to it and it's like flapping around, bro. And like at the beginning of the video, it makes dinosaur sounds. Like it literally makes dinosaur sounds.
Like what kind? Like well, hold on.
Dude, like just pull it up and listen. Like it literally makes like dinosaur raptor chirps.
Yeah, here we go. Let's see here. Crack boys. All right.
Like for real though. It's ridiculous.
You pulling it up for the viewers?
No, I'd have to set up a window for Discord specifically, but this is
Yeah, dude, but like at the very beginning of the video, it makes like this weird little chirpy sound that like straight up sounds like a raptor. Like at the very, very beginning.
Yeah, I'll pull it to you guys. Don't talk for a second.
Those were dinosaur sounds, bro.
It's horrifying. It's fucking horrifying. Magpies are fucking terrifying.
Yeah, and so like it's just been like fucking up this plant, and like it's literally just been trying to steal it off the wall since like Thursday, and like I don't know, dude. I'm about to start fighting magpies.
Yeah, start putting up magpie traps. I don't know what those look like.
There's I like went to see if it like actually. I was like, well, I wonder if it like actually got off with any of the plant or whatever because like it was up there for a while. And so, like, I, like, popped open the door, and I watched, like, the recording that I made later, and I wasn't thinking about the doorbell at the time. And, like, as I walk into the doorbell, you can, like, just hear me whisper, like, dumb magpie fucking bitch, like, as the door closes.
So just for context, too, breeding season for magpies is generally from late March to early July. They nest once a year, but may re-nest if their first attempt fails early. The female lays up to 13 eggs, but usually the clutch size is 6 or 7. Why is there
in and around my house? And like they like just showed up this week, like in droves. Like, they're all over my house and my yard and, like, my neighbor's yards and, like, my general neighborhood. Like, there's just magpies everywhere.
They're hunting, dude. They're fucking hunting. But also, why is there a little breeding batch known as a clutch? is very uncomfortable to me because only a magpie would have their children be called clutches. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah. he's clutched by the...
Because they get that benefit from tax season. It's clutch.
Is that what? This is okay.
You get more money. You get more money that way, you know.
Well, we're not talking about magpies because today we're talking about because today we're talking about Space Wizards only being on PlayStation, maybe not. This is Lords of the World Town and Stranger Things season 4 and much, much more, because this is the Good Kraken Podcast, your choice for all the nerdy video game and pop media news, reviews, and discussions that you want to hear live every Tuesday at 7 p.m. and Saturday at 12 p.m. If you're on this wave, you can head on over to our Discord channel, where soon you can submit questions and topics of the show, get exclusive post-show content, and have early access to episodes before they go live on podcast and video services across the digital sea. Thank you, Garrett. But if you've emptied your pockets for the latest and greatest in entertainment, that is totally fine. You can watch us record this show live right here at twitch.tv/goodkrakenshow. If you have Amazon Prime, you also have Twitch Prime. We would love for you to give that to us to help keep us pushing content out for all of you listening or watching at home, just like Morbid Curiosity is with a subscription. I can't believe I've been hanging out with you fucks for almost a year. There you go, babies. There you go. But you can also support us by going to our YouTube channel, by clicking that beautiful bell and big red button, or by subscribing to our podcast channel by searching Good Kraken with an exclamation mark and leaving a review there. Zunda! That was my best Ironhide voice that I could figure out. You know what I mean? Since apparently I'm not enough to be Optimus, I have to be Ironhide. We're just, you know, fine. I'll take it because Ironhide's fucking rad in the Transformers movie. So
I did say at one point that maybe it makes more sense that you would be Optimus Prime and then Devin is Hot Rod.
I know. And you know, I appreciate that for using it.
You would just have to die and then he'd become Rodimus Prime, but it's okay.
I mean, I was okay with Grimlock too. I'm all right with those things. You know what I'm saying? Like that's fine. Ironhide's pretty fucking dope. And he does take care of the homie, so that's all right. He has a big mechanical cigar. You know what I mean? It's also really cool. We have a captain's order, my friends. You guys have probably noticed that our content rollout has been a little bit weird, different, and indifferent lately. That's because we're changing our rollout schedule for episodes going live to you guys on podcast services. Instead of waiting an entire day and a half for episodes, we record them on Twitch, we talk about them a little bit, we get all the, you know what I'm saying, now we're just rolling them out the next day for all of you. And what's going to happen here pretty soon is that you guys on Discord, if you're a subscriber to us on Twitch and you join our Discord, you will have early access to these episodes the night of. It will go up, they will be ready for you, and you will be able to watch them on YouTube and take a little peeky peek, a little listen, if one could, you know, potentially say. You'll also have opportunity to be able to write in, do questions, all this other stuff. Things that we're getting ready for you guys that have been supporting us for the past year and a half now that we've been at it doing loser stuff. You know what I'm saying? Garrick, tell the people at home what we got for them next.
Ooh, we're heading into our first segment of the day, our news segment, The Helm.
Or as the magpie says, my sandwiches.
Yeah, dude, for real.
Garrett, take our first story, my man.
Absolutely, positively. I actually was just talking about this yesterday a little bit. Sony has completed its $3.7 billion deal to acquire Bungie and welcome it into the PlayStation family. And this is coming from Adam Bankhurst at IGN. PlayStation shared the news on Twitter saying the agreement to acquire Bungie has closed. So now we can officially say welcome to the PlayStation family, Bungie. Bungie also shared some words to mark the occasion and express how excited it is to join the incredible team at PlayStation. We are proud to officially join the incredible team at PlayStation. We are excited for the future of our company, and we are inspired to bring together players from all over the world to form lasting friendships and memories, Bungie wrote. Oh my good luck, God, it's so dry here, y'all. Per Audacia Ad Astra, Sony announced that it was going to acquire Bungie in February 2022 for $3.6 billion, but the SEC filing had to for the completed deal from July 15th notes that the total deal price was approximately $3.7 billion. When the deal was made public, Bungie confirmed that it will be that will be run as an independent subsidiary of Sony Interactive Entertainment and will be will remain a multi-platform studio with the option of self-publish and reach players where they choose to play. That's basically a really kind way of saying that y'all Destiny fans aren't going to lose Destiny on every platform all of a
sudden.
That's
literally what that says. That's the very polite way. Don't be a fucking fool. We're not taking you away from Xbox. Although there are some fucking chodes out there that have already been making like Photoshop edits of pictures to freak people the fuck out. I saw one dude make a video of his Xbox controller, and then the camera turns up to the screen and says, it looks like you're using an Xbox controller. Please disconnect and connect to PlayStation 1. And I was like, there's no fucking way that's real. And he didn't say that it was fake. I look at the replies, everyone's like, that's not fucking real. And then he showed how he made it or whatever.
Well, right.
Fucking stupid stuff. You
know somebody out there bought that for like a half a second, though.
Oh, I bought it for half a second. I was like, what the fuck?
You're like, nah, like,
I was enraged for half a second, dude. And I was like, no, there's no way, right? There's no way, right? So I looked and thank God. Now, Xander, as one of our resident Destiny guys, what benefit do you see from PlayStation in supporting Destiny in the long run? Obviously they did this deal for a reason. What do you see them? Oh yes, Garrick, right? The money, obviously. What do you see Destiny doing with that money to reward their player base?
So I do want to preface this by saying that I am to Destiny what my dad is to the army, in a sense. You know, he was there. He lived it. He went through it. You know, yeah. we took down Crota. We took down Oryx.
We sure did.
You know, yep. Back in my day.
Yep.
Back in my day, we ran with the Iron Wolves. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. And then yep. you know, Destiny 2 came out, and you know, it's been. I was reaching that point where, you know, my knees were getting. My knees were getting kind of rough, you know, like I couldn't run like I used to, you know, I couldn't.
Those old hunter
my aim
knees,
was
man.
Off. My aim.
See if you were a Titan, that wouldn't have happened.
So,
right. Titan forever. Garrett, tell him.
I'm a little bit separated from the franchise over the course of the last year or so. However, I will say, I think this is good. I think this is good because, again, like Garrick was saying, there's more money involved. They can do a lot more, which I think has been the biggest pain point where they've been, it seems as though they've, for a while, they'd been kind of incentivizing, you know, these microtransactions. And we, you know how we all feel about microtransactions. It kind of sucks.
Right.
It sucks. But at the same time, if you like the game and you want to support the game, microtransactions are a great way to support it.
Yes.
Especially when Destiny has had a knack for giving out content, basically, when, you know, if you really look at it, it's like, how are they even supporting this financially, you know? Especially when there's that, you know, up until now they were considered an indie developer,
right?
So I think moving forward, especially with the roadmap that I remember, I believe Lightfall is on the horizon.
Sure.
If I remember correctly, which lore wise, it's gonna be heavy. We had the Witch Queen come out, which is extremely lore heavy. There's so much development in terms of the cutscenes, which are very well done. I've never had an issue with any of the cutscenes that the only thing that I've ever really complained about in terms of the cutscenes in Destiny is I want more.
Right.
Because they're so well done. So something like this, like they have more resources to put into the game, which is, you know, for any consumer it's a great thing.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Garrick, what are your thoughts? Do you see a pathway in which they take to really reward the longtime Bungie players, the longtime Destiny players, excuse me? What do you see in the future for Destiny here?
I'm actually not 100% sure, like, what they're going to, like, provide out of this in the future. If I'm being completely honest, like, I'm not actually sure what sort of route they're taking. I just think the biggest, like, takeaway from this that I think is, like, a positive that people should kind of feel, like, more relaxed about is the fact that they're, like, letting them remain an independent subsidiary, which means that unless like Sony, unless Bungie's like really shit in the bed on something, which they don't really do as a company, or if they do, they correct pretty quick.
Yeah.
Like PlayStation's going to leave them alone. Like this is, I really just think this is just going to be an overall financial benefit, which is something that Bungie has like, they've kind of expressed that like they need this, they need like that partnership for stability, even though like they're a great studio and like they're doing awesome things with like the Destiny franchise that fans are like kind of really looking forward to now that we're in like the future of the game. The big thing is like, you know, there was like a dip in quality of game service when they lost their partnership with like Activision. It was great for the player base, but on the business side, like it was hard for Bungie, and like they didn't speak like a ton about it, but like we saw the reflection in like the quality of like content that Destiny got, you know, in between like its independent studio, like back to, you know, when it was, you know, now in talks or then in talks with like being acquired by PlayStation. And like the fact that like Witch Queen is as good as it is like now was actually a little surprising, because the way that the last couple of DLCs went, not everybody was super thrilled with some of the content. And like there was a lot of delays with endgame content that really disrupted like the endgame loop and the player flow, and like PvP has been an imbalanced, weird meta mess for like the better half of a year and a half now. I mean, like it's been such a problem that I, as a person not playing the game, am aware of it. Right. Just like just, that's how bad it is.
Jotun and hand cannons all day long.
And so like that. There's been like this weird thing. And so I'm hoping that like with this budget, I'm really hoping that like Bungie just chooses to use some of the extra income that they're getting from their partnership to stabilize like their workforce, actually. Like not necessarily, I don't think they necessarily need to like improve or like adapt like gameplay mechanics or like things for the future, because they're on a good track with what they're doing now. But if they stabilize their workforce and they get more people, then we're going to be able to see like quicker balance changes, or like we're going to have more people dedicated for being like they'll be able to afford teams to be able to independently balance things like PvE and PvP separately, and or like be able to have like an independent team that works on them as a whole. But if they've got more bodies and like people with talent in that place, especially people with like community knowledge, like the game is just going to feel more cohesive in the future. And people, I know people are just like, oh, I'll just do Destiny 3 now that like they're being acquired. But no, we don't need Destiny 3. We just need to continue on with Destiny 2. We saw like how awful of a disaster it was. Like they just need to use this budget wisely, improve and stabilize their workforce, and like just continue to like up the quality of the content that currently exists.
Yeah. They probably will need to do some form of Destiny 3 eventually to update the engine. But I think we're still a whiles away from that.
We're still a ways from that, though. Like, it's not something we need, though, right?
Yeah.
Now,
I think we're in, like, a World of Warcraft kind of phase, where it's, like, a long-winded, like, it's, like, it's the game was put out long ago. Long ago. We're just getting constant updates. Updates. I think that is kind of, especially since Luke Smith has openly stated like he was a big World of Warcraft fan. So I think that's kind of their mindset right now in terms
of the MMO thing about Destiny, right? It's like the way they've chosen to do content rollout over the years.
Yeah. So I think that's what we're going to, and I don't think we would get a Destiny 3 until, you know, like at least until like, or now you and my daughters are like, you know, in high school, I feel like.
Oh, damn. You think it's going to be that kind of.
I think it would probably be at that point.
I sure hope not.
I wouldn't be surprised if they dropped the 2 after a while and it just became Destiny.
I think, yeah. Like, yeah. I can see them doing a thing near the end of this console generation where they release a Destiny : something, and that is the new experience of Destiny going forward for the next following, you know, 8 years, 2 console generations, and kind of play their cards there, because I mean we're kind of at a point now where like video game graphic fidelity is pretty bonkers, and Destiny right now is only one step behind that, and so like there's room for them to do something like release a Destiny colon something, have it be upgraded graphics, and that will last them two generations, maybe even three, as long as they play their cards right. And maybe that could be part of their plan with joining PlayStation, because PlayStation obviously has many teams of developers that can help with things like that that Bungie hasn't been able to quite get their hands on in a really long time because they've been independent for so long. They could help that process come along. And then later on down the road, we also know PlayStation has some very incredible story writers under their belt across their many development teams. And there's some really great stories that we could potentially get out of Destiny going forward. So that's the thing that makes me really excited about it. I like the cycle that they have right now. I think obviously the thing that we can all agree on is that that end game content gets real redundant after a while, and I think that's kind of what everyone's universal sort of like grievances with the game. I'm hoping that they
burn out.
Yeah, exactly. And I hope that they find a way to at least condition that a little bit more, you know, give us a little bit more variability, give us a little bit more leniency to sort of customize the way that we want to experience that end game, rather than just saying, oh, we'll give you six more end game things to do for you to get burnt out and bored with, you know what I mean? So who knows?
Well, what you touched on with the fact that PlayStation does have a lot of really good story writers, that's one thing about Destiny that I've always really enjoyed too, which is why I really enjoyed the Witch Queen. Was we had more of a campaign. We actually had a campaign this time around. And so that could be another thing where instead of maybe 6 hours at tops for a campaign mission or a campaign storyline to get to the end game, maybe we could have like a very in-depth campaign that sort of ties in some kind of end game content, you know, like it. I don't know, this it. The campaigns in Destiny have always been like a very strong point for me personally, because just the lore is so in depth, and it's unlike anything that I personally have ever experienced and would like to see more of. So hopefully this could mean more of that.
I really, really genuinely, truly hope so. Xander, do you want to take your second story, my man?
Yeah, I can do this. EA's new Skate is free to play. This comes from Michael McWhirter from Polygon. Apologies if I messed up your last name. The creative team behind Electronic Arts' new Skate, the first new entry in more than a decade. Wow, has it really been that long? revealed more details about their skateboarding game on Thursday, including its full name, Skate, just Skate, not Skate 4, through EA stylized it with a period. Oh, yeah. Yeah, Skate, period, the developer said. Chris Perry, creative director on Skate, said the new game is not a sequel, remake, reboot, or remaster of the original Skate, but something new. We're in it for the long haul, Perry said. And developer Full Circle will add new gameplay content and gameplay elements to the game based on player feedback. I like that. The new Skate will be free to play game and coming to Windows PC, PlayStation, and Xbox platforms. EA and Full Circle announced with full crossplay and cross progression. Now, I will say, even though it's coming to PC, you better be playing on a fucking controller.
Yep.
A mobile version of the new Skate is also in development. The developers did not announce a release window for any version of the game, only committing to quote unquote when it's ready. Fair. The developers said that yes, Skate will have microtransactions to fund its continued development, but said they will largely be cosmetic. Okay. The team said that it's looking to games like Apex Legends, also from EA, as inspiration for monetization. Not bad. I like this.
So we just got done talking about a lot of, you know, bumps and hills and mountains that live service games have to take care of and things like Destiny. It sounds like they're going for a live service Skate here. That's kind of what I'm getting off of this,
right? Yeah, which is also the vibe I'm getting, which actually this isn't going to be the first like video game where it is like a sports game as a live service.
Right.
Riders Republic actually has like it's in like its second or third season, and it has like a battle pass sort of a season pass sort of thing. So And, you know, that's made by Ubisoft, so which isn't shocking. They kind of like they kind of went that direction with their monetization. I think this is going to be kind of cool. I really like that on the flip side, while, you know, Riders Republic is a full price game, this is going to be free. And given the fact that Skate's like a pretty huge franchise, like as it is already, and like a really well-loved one, I think this is going to be awesome. Like, I just hope, you know, I'm cool with just cosmetic, like microtransactions. I've always been cool with those, because who doesn't? I mean, if you want to spend your own money to make your character look cool, like that's on you, bro.
Mm-hmm. Especially for a free to play game, right?
Yeah.
Well, especially on the sense that like this is skateboarding. So we've all skateboarded at some point in our life. I'm sure.
100%.
What happens when you see, you know, fucking a new deck over at fucking Zoomies or your local skate shop? And like, ooh,
yeah,
I'd like to have that. What are you going to do? You're going to fucking buy it. It's the same fucking thing. That, like, the microtransaction just makes fucking sense in this sense. Like, it's a no brainer.
It very much does. I also kind of like the idea of them treating it like potentially an MMO. Like, hear me out, right? Open world sandbox. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's just say open world sandbox New York or some shit, right?
And is this going to be San Amsterdam?
I don't know.
In that trailer, the alpha trailer that they did, they said it's San Amsterdam.
Okay. So
San Amsterdam.
So that's kind of what I'm getting from this. They're wanting to take Destiny and put Skate on it, and like, I'm kind of here for that.
Dibs on Hunter.
Yeah, dude. Honestly, like this has some potential. I think, like, I love sports games, like, especially, like, action sports games. Like, obviously, like, I'm a huge fan of, like, the latest, like, Riders Republic game, which is, like, the spiritual successor to Steep. But, like, that game is open world, too. And, like, if they kind of model it off of that and then just use, like, some of the other, like, you know, Destiny-esque, like, microtransaction sort of things, or Apex, or, you know, do, like, a Destiny-style, like, content rollout, this could be really fun and could have a good long life cycle, too.
Yeah, it very much could be. And I'm like, in my brain, I'm wanting to say that this is kind of a really smart business decision on their part, because I think they know their audience and what their audience wants going into another Skate game, and saying like, hey, like, we saw the analytics, we saw the statistics of Skate 3. We saw that a lot of conversation was around things like new decks, customizing your board, customizing your bearings, customizing your character's outfit, like customizing your character, generally speaking, right? Like, I think they understand what their audience wants. And instead of saying, hey, we're going to make you pay a full, you know, price point to play this game, and like, you'll have a limited amount of customization overall, instead, we're going to make it free to play, make it live service, roll out new outfits, new character customization options, new deck customization options, potentially new maps later on, and say, here, have a fucking good time. And I think that's like such a good business decision on their part for this. It's hard not to like have a big smile on my face when thinking about this fucking game.
Oh, absolutely. I have nothing but fond memories from the Skate days. Like, it by far, probably I'd put it in my top three games of all time, simply because it was the one game where, like, I remember coming home from school and I didn't even really want to like do any try hard shit or anything. I just wanted to fucking just chill out in front of my Xbox and shit and like do whatever. And I would load up Skate and just chill out. I got my fucking pizza rolls, just fucking, all right, bet. And I wouldn't even do any fucking challenges. I'd just be skating around the fucking city, just like doing whatever the fuck I wanted. And it was super chill. Yeah. I could play my music and just fucking turn the fuck off just for like an hour or so. And it was perfect. And I've been wanting a game like that ever since, which I never really got. And like, I remember, even like you said, customization, like I think it was Skate 2. I was over at my buddy's house and we spent literally an hour. He was in the character customization menu and he would like, look at the screen, look at me, look at the screen, look at me, look at the screen, look at me. And then next thing you know, he actually made me like this face that our video watchers are seeing right now.
Yep.
He made this face, obviously less facial hair, but this face. Like, I was like, how can you do that in, like, what was it, 2011 or something
right,
like that?
Right. Well, EA's also, if I remember correctly, EA's been doing a couple of things with some of their past few games where you'll be able to upload a picture to the game. And you, when it takes that picture and it sort of recreates your face onto a character in some of the, like, Madden games, things like that, like the old school, like, EA ones in modern day time, that's a thing that they've made, like, happen in a few
games. I'm about to upload a fucking picture of Simu Liu and make him my boyfriend.
The WWE game, the most recent one, that one allowed you to do the same thing. Like, it's kind of cool. It's kind of cool. I'm also very excited for Xander to just look like Eric Costin in this game. It's going to be great. it's going to be Eric Costin with short hair. That's all it is. It's just I fucking love it. There's gonna be some cool stuff here, guys. Lots of cool stuff, but even more cool stuff for you guys. Black Mirror season 6 casts Aaron Paul, Josh Hartnett, Zazie Beetz, Kate Mara, and Papa Esiedu. This comes from Jackie Strauss over at Hollywood Reporter. And Jackie says this: Charlie Brooker and Annabelle Jones's acclaimed dystopian anthology, as the Hollywood Reporter has reported, is expected to have more episodes than the previous season, which had 3 installments, and will continue the show's trend of producing longer and more cinematic stories. While the total episode count for season 6 hasn't been announced, this batch of cast members will star in the first 3 episodes per sources. The previous season of Black Mirror aired back in 2019 and before the COVID-19 pandemic struck. At the time, Brooker expressed disinterest in making more episodes of the tech horror series amid the global tragedy. Instead, he and partner Jones produced 2 pandemic-themed end-of-year mockumentary specials for Netflix, Death of 2020 and Death of 2021. Black Mirror was produced by Brooker and Jones via their production company House of Tomorrow under Endemol Shine Group. The duo left the shingle in 2020 to launch new banner Broke and Bones, with Netflix as a key investor. The rights to Black Mirror, however, stayed with Endemol, which was in turn bought by Banijai Group. Took me for a turn. Banijai Group. Netflix ultimately came in and licensed Black Mirror from Banijai, returning access to the title to Brooker and Jones. Aaron Paul and Josh Hartnett in
Black Josh Mirror. Hartnett is not a name I have not heard in a long time.
Right.
Like, I'm legit Obi-Wan Kenobi-ing it right now. Like, yeah. That is not a name I've heard in a long time. Like, what? That's interesting. I'm excited.
I'm, like, kind of peak excited for this. I'm very peak excited about Aaron Paul in Black Mirror. Like,
yeah,
I think he could fucking slay a Black Mirror episode, honestly.
No, for sure.
Zazie Beetz is also incredible at everything she does. Like, it's have you guys been caught up on Black Mirror? Have you guys gotten caught up on it?
So the last season the last season I remember watching was, it ended with Letitia Wright, Shuri in Black Panther, and she goes to that like out in the middle of fucking nowhere, the little like museum of all the Black Mirror episodes. Is that the last? Was that the final
season? No, I think season? It was like the third to last one.
Oh shit! Or
the third to last episode of that season, but yeah, that's the Black Museum. So she goes in and has like displays of like different items from different episodes or whatever, and yeah,
which was meta as fuck, and I loved it.
Super meta, super fucking meta, and I do love
it.
Jag and Chad. Oh, you just know Aaron Paul's gonna kill it. That was season 4. Thank you, Jag.
Oh, for sure.
Thank you.
That was season 4. Okay,
yeah, season 4.
So I have one more season. What? Thank you. I appreciate that.
And the last season that they did was actually surprisingly good. There's that one episode with fucking Falcon. What's his goddamn name? Sam. What's the actor's name?
Anthony Mackie.
Anthony Mackie. Thank you. There's the one with him and Candyman. and they're like 2 best friends that play like online.
New Candyman.
Yeah. New Candyman.
The guy that played Black Manta.
Yeah. Tenet. They're 2 best friends. Yeah, is it not the same guy? Hold on. Let me
No, that's here. John David Washington.
Very different actors.
I see some similarities. I get where you're at.
You're right. Yeah. Yeah, no, it's Black Manta guy. There's the first episode is like Anthony Mackie and him are like best friends playing like online games together, and they end up falling in love with each other like via their online avatar personas in this game, because one of them plays as a guy and one of them plays as a girl, and they're like getting super sucked into the role play of this like fighting game. And it's like a game where like they're not using controllers. It's like a VR thing that they like put it like into their head, and then their eyes whiten out, and then they like basically go into comatose like on the couch or whatever. So they're actually living the video game as their characters, and in the game they end up sleeping together, and they're like, oh shit, what does this mean like in real life? And they have to sort of juggle with the fact that like, or like the concept of like, am I like kind of not straight, because they're both married and shit, right? And like they have to like juggle that. It's one of the like more beautiful episodes of Black Mirror has done, and the last season does such a good job of sort of like taking on some of those themes and subjects in a way that the prior seasons didn't really take on, because they were more focused on being like horror content. I think they saw the reaction people had to San Junipero and were like, okay, that's what you guys want.
That was a solid fucking episode.
That's a fucking good episode of television.
Oh, I fucking love that one.
Ooh, Garrick, tell me you see. Tell me you see. Good. Tell me you see.
I've never seen Black Mirror. Like, never watched it.
Oh. Now, okay. I will say, though, the one that fucked me up was the one with the guy that plays John Walker in Falcon and the Winter Soldier, the video game episode.
Oh, when he saw
that fucking spider with the humanoid face and shit. You know my fear of spiders, all right? I saw that shit. I'm like, whoa!
Yeah, is this an anthology series?
It is.
Yes.
Each episode's a different story. However, they are technically in the same universe, because there are pieces of technology that they use in prior episodes that they also use in future episodes. So one main one that you'll see is that there's in the I think it's like the second episode officially of Black Mirror. They introduce like these things in people's eyeballs that can record everything they see. And they use that a few times in a few different episodes. So they are anthologies. They are different stories, but they sort of connect in this greater universe together. Jax's playtest. That's what it was. That episode. Fuck that episode. That episode skeezed me out.
By far, though, my favorite episode was the one with John Hamm.
The cabin.
The cabin.
Oh, dude,
the emotional points of that fucking my god, it was so well written. Like, I was not expecting anything that fucking happened, Garrick, in that fucking episode.
Garrick,
it was like by far probably some of the best writing I've ever experienced.
If I love Death and Robots, will I like this?
Yes,
because it's the same. It's the same feel. It's the same concept, but live action.
Okay.
Yeah. Like, well, it's.
I don't know why haven't watched it. Like, I've literally. I see it all the time. I'm just like, and I just keep scrolling. Like, I don't know.
The first episode might. Because I feel like the first episode kind of turned a lot of people off. The people that I talk to.
It sold me, doggy dog.
Is it just like messed up, or
it's kind of messed up? It's
I assure you that won't bother me.
I mean, there a majority of the episodes are messed up. They have some messed up concept about them because they are technically supposed to be thriller horror.
You don't create content under the banner called Black Mirror and not have it be like,
right? Because it's supposed to be like an existential like thought piece on technology and where technology could lead us as a human society. And that's not a very comfortable conversation to have, right? Like, that's kind of like the overarching.
It's awful. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's kind of the overarching theme of the show. Like, as they go through the anthology episodes, like the first one talks about like how easily someone could hack everybody's computers. The second one talks about like, if we could record everything that we wanted to record, what is the cost of being able to do that? There's another one that is like, if we killed all the bees and replaced them with robot bees, what would that look like? You know, like, there's another one in the first season that is, if, you know, your wife passed away and they invented a way for you to have your wife come back, but she's a, like, hollow robot version that you have to upload her information into, what would that look like? You know, like things like that. San Junipero specifically is
not my wife.
Yeah, I know, right? San Junipero specifically was the first episode that they did that was not horror. It's actually a romance story.
And was that, what season was that episode?
That's season two. Dude. And it won three awards.
It is like, so good.
That's how good it is.
Like, it's such a beautiful story. Like, it really is.
Yeah. And Jag mentions Miley Cyrus has an episode in this newest season that actually is surprisingly good, too. She fucking kills it in it. But she's like a pop star in it that doesn't want to be a pop star anymore.
She channeled her inner her.
Yeah,
real hard.
It's a really cool like horror take on Hannah Montana, and like it works. It fucking works in the weirdest, best, wonderful way ever. Yeah, it's cool. Yeah. Eric, fucking watch this show. God damn it, man.
There's an episode about social media too. That's kind of like, I feel like we're bordering on like getting to that point
Black
too.
Black Bear. Yeah.
It was the one with Bryce Dallas Howard.
Oh, that one, the five stars, the five stars. Yeah. Oh, fuck that one. Also,
I like that one because she
a thick snack. She
had no business looking that good. And I was like, Bryce.
Okay, girl. Hey, okay, girl. And then she popped him Jurassic Park, like, and I was like, not my.
Yeah, because like she gained weight for that role in there. I was like, girl, I'm gonna say, honey,
just keep it.
You carry that way. Just, like,
keep it. Stay thick forever. Just, you know what I mean? Just do it. Okay, you did not do lip bite.
Listen, okay. I'm sorry. I mean, right. when you go thick with two or three C's, right,
Eric,
I mean,
I'm gonna need you to chill.
Fucking something. Huh?
Bonk.
I like my women like I like my milkshakes. All right, thick and bad for my health.
Bravo 6. We spawned the bonk.
Sorry, I'm letting Shipwreck Show filter into our review of those.
Okay. That's kind of what we do every time. But we also do other things every single time, just like move into our next segment. Before I move on to our next segment, I want to remind everybody that they can support us over on our Discord channel, where they can soon get early access on episodes before they go public. They can write on the show and they can get this episode ad free. But they aren't on our Discord. They are hearing this right now. Have a word from our sponsors.
This piece of good cracking content is brought to you by Glide Mouse Pads. The world is changing, and the demand for PC gaming and work from home setups has never been as wild as it is right now. Having the best of the best in PC accessories only makes it easier to get your work done before you jump right back into the fray of the digital sea. And Glide knows exactly how to make it happen for you. Glide Mouse Pads is the future industry leader in mouse pads, offering beautiful, smooth, and waterproof products made with eco-friendly materials and non-slip rubber in a variety of sizes that are guaranteed to help you get the next win. Is your battle rug just looking a little crusty? Is the mouse just not as smooth as it used to be? Or are you just looking to get rid of that ergonomic mouse pad your grandma got you for Christmas? Well, then I think we have the mouse pad for you. You can go to glidemousepads.com right now and use code Kraken for 15% off the Founders Edition mousepad in every size available. Again, that's code K-R-A-K-E-N, Kraken, for 15% off any Founders Edition mousepads today. Our next sponsor is Rogue Energy. Late nights are pretty much commonplace for us content creators, and any of us here at GK can attest that sometimes you're just too damn tired to even think about how not to be tired anymore. Lucky for us, though, Rogue has figured out how to give us those late nights and even earlier mornings the supercharge we all need. Rogue Energy is a low-calorie, no-sugar energy formula that is the perfect alternative to sugar-filled canned energy drinks and sodas. Every formula Rogue Energy produces is designed with optimal levels levels of high quality ingredients and no chalky textures. Being the only gaming drink company in the world with four unique product lines to suit your task at hand, Rogue Energy strives to improve that in-game performance of gamers, streamers, and content creators everywhere. Look, I love this stuff. I've got two tubs at home right now. Your boy is drinking on some caramel vanilla latte in the mornings and sipping on some mango pineapple throughout the day. And if you are wondering how you can get these two dope flavors, well, I'm gonna tell you. You can head over to rogueenergy.com and use code GKRAKEN for 10% off your purchase on any shaker or formula tub of your choosing. That is GKRAKEN for 10% off any shaker or formula tub of you'd like. And now, back to your regularly scheduled Good Kraken content.
Squawk! 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 That's a magpie. That's a magpie coming for Garrick's ring doorbell. Squawk! Squawk! Also, I've been thinking about getting a ring doorbell, but now that you're having these issues with these magpies, I don't know if I can.
Dude, you should get one. Okay, honestly, like, the thing that I hate the most about it is, like, I have, like, this weird fascination now where, like, I wake up in the morning and I like to check the feed. And I like to see if like anything just like interesting happened like on the street out in front of my house over the night. Like
I'm mad.
It makes me so nosy.
I'm mad how all of a sudden when you said wake up and then I did that thing, my brain was like, grab a magpie, give him a little shake up.
Just dude. Just give it the goose treatment, man.
Stranger Things Season 4 review. We're going into the gallows. Protect your neck. Protect your neck.
Oh, yeah.
I forgot to do the transition. Yeah. Stranger Things Season 4 review, guys. Let's fucking talk about it. Released, firstly, on May 27th, 2022, for the first 7 episodes, and then the last two released July 1st, 2022, directed by Sean Levi and produced and written by the Duffer Brothers, with a budget of $30 million per episode. Holy shit. That it is shows. A lot of money, dude. Oh my God. No wonder Netflix canceled a bunch of shit.
Yeah, dude, they needed to make room for that. Holy fuck.
I mean, they knew these, oh my God, they knew this season was going to be fucking bonkers. They're like, listen, we gotta cut down some of this budget, guys. But not for Stranger Things, just for everything else that's on our library.
Yeah. You five people, you liked Cowboy Bebop? Yeah, sorry. No, we're... yeah,
sorry, guys. Even though
we're going another direction.
Pretty sure that show only had like a $2 million budget.
I watched three episodes and I was total. Out.
Yeah, in total.
Yeah,
in total,
exactly. I think I didn't finish it either, dude. I couldn't.
I didn't even get past the first episode, boys. I'm sorry. I just, I can't fucking do it. I can, all the good talk.
I wanted to, because John Cho, I love John Cho.
Cho. Me too.
Man. Runtime of 1 hour and 3 minutes to 2 hours and 30 minutes being the very last episode. And boy, did it feel good. It felt good to have a good old Stranger Things movie there at the end. Some trivia for you guys. In an interview with NPR, the Duffer brothers, Matt Duffer and Ross Duffer, praised Millie Bobby Brown as a precariously gifted actor and said that she is able to adjust her performance to different lens or camera positions in a way that most child actors don't know how to do. But they also said that there were times on set when they were reminded that she was still just a little girl. The example that Ross Duffer gave was, quote, one day she showed up on set and she was just covered head to toe in glitter. And she's like, I don't know where the glitter came from. And it's like, I'm not having this problem with any of my adult actors. David Harbour is not coming covered in glitter. I mean, maybe he probably is.
That you know of.
Yeah, the Duffers said that removing the glitter delayed their shooting schedule by 45 minutes.
Only 45 minutes?
Nice. For glitter, that's pretty good.
That is pretty good.
That's impressive. Yeah. Like
they're like, Millie, go fucking shower, dude.
Like, there's glitter on like my daughter's eyelids, and I'm sitting there for a fucking hour rubbing with the micellar water and shit, like fucking, bro.
Did you say micellar water?
I don't know how to fucking pronounce it. It's my wife's. So I don't. It's
Max's theme song in season four is "Running Up That Hill" by one Kate Bush. The frequent use of the song led to it going number one on the U.S. iTunes chart in the first week of the season's release. In 1985, the song didn't even go higher than number 30 on the U.S. Billboard chart.
A little adage to that trivia. Taika Waititi went on record saying that he is absolutely pissed at Stranger Things for using that song because he's planning on using Kate Bush in Thor Love and Thunder, and because of the hype of this song in Stranger Things, he's like, fuck, now I can't use it. And then he went on to say that he's become that old bastard that goes on to say, like, oh, what other songs do you know about her? Like, because he was a huge Kate Bush fan, apparently. Yeah. And so now, like, you have all these fucking people that are like, oh my God, this song is so amazing. I'm like, all right, what else do you know?
Here's my favorite part about this is in my head canon, Kate Bush woke up that, like, 2-3 days after the first season, like, or the first episodes of season four came out, and her agent called her. She's blowing up her phone, and she wakes up and she's like, "Hey, Governor," right? And she and her agent's like, "You're not gonna fucking believe this," and she's like, "What?" And she's like, "Check your bank account," right? And obviously that's not the way it works. Literally, it's just my head canon, right?
At number one,
and just like she looks at her bank account, and there is like $1.2 million of ad revenue and like share royalties and all this other shit rolling into her bank account. She's like, "What in the fuck happened here?" And then lo and behold, she finds out that her song got licensed for a fucking number one hit TV show across the entire fucking globe, basically.
I'm
so glad that it actually got used in Stranger Things and not like Thor Love and Thunder.
right. Cause like I was fine with them just sticking to the classic rock beats for that movie.
Yeah. I feel like that would probably be like pouring salt into the wound at this point.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, I gave you guys my thoughts on the movie in chat.
You did.
So
Kate Bush deserved this. She does. Yeah, could you imagine making like a bunch of music? One of them is kind of a hit, right? And then 30 years down the line, it like makes you
kind of just living your life. You know, like you have to think, like, you know, she kind of at this point, I feel like she was probably just like, you know, settled down, just chilling, like whatever. Like, I made a couple of hit songs. Cool. That's good. And then she went on, I don't know what else she probably ended up fucking doing. And then now all of a sudden it's a big hit. Like imagine that. Imagine if you were to put out a song like tomorrow, like Drift Away, put out a song tomorrow, right?
Yeah, the song's then, called Tomorrow, you know, too. Yeah,
it was decent, you know, like you gathered a decent following, but then you went on the rest of your life continuing with Good Kraken. You made good with Good Kraken and stuff like that. You're 70 years old now, and all of a sudden it's being played in hockey stadiums everywhere.
Right.
Just fucking Shorzy out there just throwing the fuck down, you know, like.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
That's like
crazy. It's
bravo to her. You know what I mean? She fucking deserves
it. Yeah.
Like,
good for her.
The attention back then. She deserves it now.
You know, dude, it just shows you that, like, the power of media is fucking ridiculous, dude. Mm-hmm. It's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Like, literally, like, because you know that, like, the day before, like, Stranger Things, like, nobody was thinking about Kate Bush. Like, it wasn't happening.
Nobody.
Like, her time had passed. And then, like, you know, we all got 6 hours into our, you know, our binge of the first set of episodes. And, like, everybody was on their fucking iTunes and Spotify playlist after that. Dude, it's literally, I'm listening to it right now. Like,
it just ended for me, actually.
It was incredible. I remember tweeting about it because my mom loves Kate Bush. And, like, I grew up, like, drowning in 80s music. And so, like, it was really, really surreal to, like, watch that episode and be like, oh, I know this song! Like, as, like, a 30-year-old. And then, like, just getting to watch, like, that 5-minute sequence in Dear Billy and just being like, what? And then, like, dude, like, waking up the next day to, like, seeing all these articles about Kate Bush was just bizarre, dude. It was incredible.
So fucking cool, dude. Speaking of more music, though, Steve Perry, former lead vocalist for Journey, has said that the Stranger Things Season 4 remix of Journey's 1980s smash hit Separate Ways, Worlds Apart, was done pretty much the way he originally wanted it done in the 1980s, but lacked the technology. Steve was so impressed that he even helped with the development of the remix.
Oh my god, that's...
If you go to Journey's like page on Spotify, like it's actually listed as one of their official songs. Like they claimed it because they wanted it because it's so well written.
Yeah, dude,
that's so cool. Because like I was actually playing that at work the other day because I played the original and then I played the because I was telling them about the remixed version and I was like, it's like it's got like the cinematic vibe and it's just so like just like. Oh, that's actually a really cool bit of trivia to know. I like that. I like that because that's also my personal favorite track by Journey.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That was shit. You probably heard that on the show and you were like, "Oh fuck yeah, baby. Let's go."
Yeah.
Let's go, dude. Yeah. It wasn't Enter the Sandman.
That's Metallica, bro.
That's like I know. That's what I'm saying. It wasn't you like your favorite song of the season wasn't Enter the Sandman?
No, my no.
That's Metallica. You're gonna tell me that was I know it was Italian. That was my point.
Enter Sandman wasn't in this season.
Was it not? Oh no, it wasn't.
No, it was Master of Puppets.
Yeah, Master of Puppets.
I'm an idiot. Anyways.
No, Metallica. I mean if I were to pick a favorite song, if I were to pick a favorite song from the season, it would be Master of Puppets. But my favorite track by Journey as a whole was always Separate Ways.
That's a good Journey song. That's a good Journey song. I got a couple more here for you guys. Through season 4, Paul Reiser calls 11 kiddo. This is a nod to him calling Ellen Ripley kiddo in Aliens during the nightmare chest burst scene during the beginning of the movie. The movie Aliens was also released in 1986, which is when season 4 is set. I love meta shit like that. That's fucking cool.
It's kind of cool to think about that. Like, he's playing in a period piece set in 1986 when he was in Aliens when he was much younger.
Goddamn. Like, goddamn.
Dude, the continuity of this show is like one of my favorite things about it.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. And actually, that goes into the last one that I didn't put in the notes, but I did have noted down because I just found out a couple days ago that I had a notice here. The show, Stranger Things, was actually originally going to be called Montauk. In the original pitch, they wanted to combine E.T., Close Encounters of the Third Kind, Altered States, Poltergeist, Hellraiser, Stand By Me, Firestarter, A Nightmare on Elm Street, and Jaws. Was based in Long Island, was originally supposed to be much darker than it ended up being, and would talk about a number of different projects that the Montauk experiments were a part of. So do you guys know anything about the Montauk experiments?
Vaguely.
No, I do know that I do remember hearing about that though, and that it was like supposed to be like an anthology series as well.
Yes. Originally. Well, no. It wasn't supposed to be an anthology. And I only know that because the reason I had this noted is because I found the original pitch deck that they created when they brought this show to Netflix. So maybe in the original writing process, sure. Like maybe they wanted it to be an anthology at first, but this pitch deck was really one surprisingly well fucking done. It was probably the best pitch deck I've ever fucking seen in my life. But they go into like excruciating detail of everything that they had mapped out, everything that they had planned, everything that they wanted the themes of the show to be about. They wanted to talk about like abuse and like personal like fears of abandonment, like things that were like super fucked up for these kids to go through. But the Montauk experiments were a like super like underground fucking science experiment that was going on that was rumored to have like big involvements with just like about every paranormal.
Well, I heard it's still technically considered a conspiracy theory.
It is technically a conspiracy theory, yes. And okay. Because it was taking hope in a place called like Camp Hero or something like that. And it was scientists studying paranormal shit. And the show was supposed to be 11 coming from Camp Hero, escaping from the Montauk experiments and the kids running into them, all this other stuff, and the show plays out the way that we did. Apparently it was a production choice to imbue D&D into all this shit. Which is, you know, for all
Hey, for us nerds, that works out because I mean, I've been surrounded by D&D nerds my entire life. Mm-hmm. I've never played, but I've always wanted to. And then this came out, I'm like, ayo. Which, by the way, good cracking D&D night. When is it happening?
You'll find out. You'll find out soon. You'll
know. It is happening.
We will be making it happen. You know what I'm saying? Let's fucking go, baby. Xander, your top level thoughts of Stranger Things season 4. Go ahead, my man.
Are we doing like season 4 as a whole, or season 4 part 1, season 4 part 2?
Season
like...
4 as a whole.
Okay. So I've gotten to a point in my life where there are not a lot of television streaming series that really take a grasp at me. I'm just like, I gotta fucking have it. This is the exception. Stranger Things has done such a great job with its writing, with its continuity, with its the attention to detail, where I'm just like, I am here for it. Like, honestly, there's an attention to detail that with Stranger Things that I would say surpasses the MCU at points. I don't think I've ever seen at any point a fuck up like MCU has in terms of, like, you know, like there's the whole that Spider-Man debacle with Far From Home. It was one of the things where there was just like an issue with the timeline, and it was like, wait, that doesn't make sense. No, everything makes sense in Stranger Things. Everything checks out. They've got all their lines in the right order.
I mean, they forgot character... Will's birthday, but
yeah,
I think that was purposeful. I think that was purposeful.
No, it's not, because they actually there's an article that like they were just like, yeah, so we straight up did forget like amongst the writing of other things, and they're retconning his birthday and changing it.
Oh shit! Okay.
Yeah. Like, they,
never
like,
mind. Never official. Mind. There it is. Like, there it is, guys.
They ate crow on it and everything. They're like, yeah. So we didn't notice this until after the fact, but we're changing it.
Oh, so I would say that kind of works to their benefit if they were to keep it canon, though, because given lesser focus on the character of Will this season, I feel like that. Checks out. That would work out.
I thought they like just like the characters forgot his birthday.
That's how I took it too. Yeah, that's interesting.
No, well, especially the age they're in. Like, I mean, even now, like I fucking forget everything.
They're kids trying to survive being chased by like federal government agents. I'd forget my birthday too.
Of just living a normal high school life.
Yeah,
like high. I don't know about you guys, but high school was rough for me. Like, I was like, I'm like trying to figure out where I fit in this dynamic. Like, what the, who am I in this? Like, what the fuck?
Eric Costner.
And then I tried that, and then I tried a nightmare flip, fucked up my ankle, and then I was like, nope, skateboarding's not for me, apparently.
Yeah, that's when I went to longboarding, baby. Let's go.
But no, like, okay, damn. Top level thoughts of Stranger Things season 4. It is just from front to back very well written. You have so much. It's crazy to me that in one season you can introduce a brand new character and have fans absolutely fall in love with them, just absolutely, because of the writing, because of the character development, because of everything that they just do everything right in this. And I, those who have watched it, I know you know who I'm talking about, and I want to say this, my boy. Eddie fucking Munson.
The guy. Fucking dude.
Oh, dude.
This guy came out of fucking nowhere and just immediately stole my heart and maybe my cock. Like, it's just... they do such a good job with the writing. It's weird to say because, like, you watch all these other stuff and it's like... Like, even, like, what was it? Reacher on Amazon Prime. Yeah,
I don't think that show was meant to be like, you know, a blockbuster mind bender by any means, but
it got you think about the time that they had, you know, the time in one season to create these kind of character developments, and it really shows that the writers know what they're fucking doing.
Yeah, that's for goddamn sure. Garrick, Your top level thoughts of Stranger Things season 4.
Also going to kind of echo Xander a little bit. Like, this is one of those TV shows that, like, since its inception, my wife and I, like, this is one of those shows we've definitely, like, watched together and been, like, super invested in together. And we, dude, I love this show. It's like, it's such a great piece of, like, sci-fi, horror, thriller content. And it did such a beautiful job, like, in the 87, like, the 80s setting. And, like, I think I enjoyed this season the most because it's set in like 1986, which is like the later era of the 80s, where like it borders on like it's starting to get into the era where like some of us and like our friends and family were born around that time. Right.
Yeah.
And like, dude, the roller rink that they show in California, I have vivid memories of buildings that look exactly like that where I grew up in California. Yeah. Like exactly like that. Like they're still there today. Like those buildings still hang out. It's still probably a freaking roller rink too, man. Like honestly, like, and there's so many like, and like just like the aesthetic of California in that time reminded me so much of like my childhood and like those aspects of the 80s that like bled into the early 90s that I like remember. And like, so like I was saying earlier, like the continuity and like the attention to detail, like the way that the U-Haul truck looked and like,
yeah,
was like, I was just like, that's dead. That's how they look. That's like dead ass how they looked. And like the outfits and everything, like it all was just so spot on. And like carrying over into season 4, like this is by far my favorite season of the series, and like all the other seasons are still super incredible, but this just stepped it up, like across the board stepped it up. And I loved it from start to finish. I had like the only issue I had with the entire thing as this like as a season was the 30 minutes, like the last 30 minutes of the last episode. There were some things that like I really felt like I wanted some closure on that we didn't get with the whole 2 days later.
Right.
That like it was specifically, I was just like, all right, damn, there were some things I really would have liked to see wrap up there. And like there was you can tell like there was some moments where like you could tell they were working under the pressure of the timeline of the show, I guess. Where like there were some things like Will's birthday or like the way they had to transition time a couple of times to be able to make sense with like what they were trying to do and what they were work with. And like I loved it. There were some things where like, damn, I was like, I would have been okay if you would have stretched some of those other episodes, like another 20 minutes and like to give me some more of those lore bits, specifically with like the conclusion of the season and like, and time in Russia. Like those were things that I really I wanted more to kind of piece together like the greater story with, because I felt like there were some things like we could have addressed. Like, why were there creatures in Russia? Like, how did they get them there? Like, what were they doing? Like, there were some things that I had questions on that, like, I didn't get quite all of my answers to, I guess.
Yeah.
And so, like, but that doesn't mean they're not going to answer them, which is, like, the thing, you know, like, we still have, like, one more season. It's just, like, I felt like maybe this was, like, the space for it, and I just wanted more. And so, like, you know, my critique was, like, just that I wanted more of what they were giving, you know? So, like.
Yeah,
but,
dude,
like,
I.
Yeah, but on the whole, like, I really, like, this season, I really enjoyed it. It's definitely, like, one of my favorite pieces of recent media. And season 4, episode 4, Dear Billy, is probably one of the most incredible pieces of, like, television ever. Like, I was genuinely concerned. Like, I was really concerned for these characters all season long. Like, all of them.
Yeah,
like from the main cast to like to Eddie, like, you know, and like Stranger Things always does this really incredible thing where like they bring in these exceptionally lovable side characters. And they've done it 3 seasons in a row now, you know, where we had Bob and then Alexi and now Eddie. And they've all just crafted these like they like perfected the side character. Like in television, it really feels like they just fucking nailed it. Like they make them impactful and lovable and memorable. And like to the point where like you almost remember some of the things that go on with these characters more than some of the things that go on with the main cast. And like it's brilliant writing. And I'm like, after Eddie's performance this season, how are they going to top that next season? with excitement.
So, do we have a space for spoiler talk at the end of this, or are we just gonna do that off?
We're gonna do it off stream. Yeah. We're trying to keep the stuff spoiler free if we can help it. We did give people a lot of time, but you know, there's still some people that haven't quite dived in completely yet, and so just be polite for them. But
So that being said, so if you guys do want to talk spoilers, join our Discord. Go ahead and use exclamation point Discord in our fucking Twitch chat. If you're watching live, and if you're not watching live, then go ahead and just join our Discord off of our social media, and let's talk spoilers, please. Yes, please.
To echo everything Garrick and Xander have said, this show is incredible. This season is incredible. To kind of come off what Garrick was saying specifically, they've yet to let us down in any of these seasons. Season 4, they found their formula and they said, "We know what you fuckers want at home, and let's give it to you big, right?" And they fucking nailed it. I think they nailed it in every way, shape, and form. The stakes make sense. You don't have to suspend any more disbelief than we have for the past 3 seasons. Every piece of the puzzle came together in a way that paid off for the past 3 seasons of Stranger Things that we've experienced. Everything paid off correctly with all the characters that we fell in love with. They involved all the right characters in all the right places. They gave us some character arcs that we've been really, really wanting. They gave us some character relationships that we've been begging for. They gave us some character relationships that we weren't necessarily begging for. They gave us some stuff that was a little bit weird, and some people have had conversations about it. But overall, generally speaking, this season is some of the best content we've ever gotten from Netflix. And Netflix has been around for a fucking long time. I'd maybe even argue this is the best thing Netflix has ever done.
I don't even think it's an argument, dude. I just think this is the best thing that Netflix has ever done.
Quality-wise, writing-wise, like the cast fucking killed it this season, boys. Like Jesus Christ, did these actors like slay this entire season? We saw so many dynamics from each one of these characters, and I felt all of them
down to like someone who's like maybe I, in my opinion, has skated like kind of under the radar, Lucas. The actor that plays Lucas popped the fuck off this season.
Yeah, and they did him justice because he hadn't had a lot of his. Oh, we lose Garrick. What happened here? I'll keep talking for the people at home, and the people on YouTube can just kind of suck it up. Oh, there he is. There, Garrick.
No.
Is Discord? Is Discord being Discord?
I have no idea, no clue. I was just there and then I wasn't.
That's fair. I'll take it. I think that this season was impeccable. The final two episodes, aka movies, that we got were just some of the coolest wind downs to like what we got for this season, to kind of tie up this story, and ending it on this 2.5-hour movie experience that was not boring in any way, shape, or form. I was on the edge of my seat the entire time. They tied up every loose end that we could possibly have, except for the ones that it created more of intentionally to lead us into the next season, obviously. Like, why are the Demogorgons in Russia? How'd they get there? You know, things like that, which we will get, I'm assuming, in this last season. There's all sorts of things that this season did correctly that I think all of us were kind of waiting for in the past 3 seasons for them to just nail. Where like the past 3 seasons, they went there, they did it, they did the thing, and it was good, and we loved it, we've enjoyed it, we've invested ourselves into these characters the way that they wanted us to be invested into them. And now they're actually telling and expanding on the story that I think they were able to do because they so perfectly made us invested in these characters. And that's a perfect display of what a TV show is supposed to do. They're supposed to have us buy into these characters, buy into these stories, make me give a fuck about what happened to these characters, make me believe that their stakes existent, make me believe that anything could fucking happen at any moment's notice, and we're not going to be able to completely predict all of it. That's what it should be. And they fucking nailed it all 9 episodes this season. Jesus yep. Christ. Season episode 4 was goddamn money. Episode 7 was such a good way to lead into that like 2-week break before the last couple episodes came out. And by golly fucking gee, boys, that those final 2 episodes were so fucking good. Holy incredible. Shit. Oh my god, man. And that the Dustin scene at the very end with
bro.
God, bro. The
also fucking fun tears. Fact. So I'm gonna say it's not spoilery that I say that the character that I'm talking about is Eddie Munson's uncle.
Yes.
Anyone who is familiar with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., that's Enoch.
He plays Enoch?
That's Enoch, the fucking monotone yes. motherfucker.
He plays Enoch? What the fuck?
That's that's fucking Enoch.
I did not know that. Okay. I did not recognize him for shit on that. Holy well, shit.
I didn't realize until the final episode. And I remembered, like, I was like, hold on, wait the fuck minute. Like it was date night with Queen Jackie, and I paused it and she's like, what the fuck are you doing? I'm like, just listen to me. That's Enoch.
That's what? Enoch. Holy shit.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. You remember? She's like, yeah, I remember who the fuck that is. Like, what do you mean? That's him. No, that's not that. That's fucking him. Look it up. IMDb. Just don't IMDb. And she's like, all right, fine. But let's go ahead. I'm getting this out of me because this is the kind of energy I normally want. But there's people in that. I'm in the house by myself. Sure. You're welcome.
Sure.
So yeah. So she looks it up. She's like, holy shit. Yeah. You're right. I'm like, that's Enoch with a fucking beard.
I didn't fucking realize that. It didn't hit me until you mentioned
yeah.
it. Panda and Chat, what's happening? I'm here for the Stranger Things tea. Well, we got Stranger Things tea for you. You know what
ooh,
I'm saying?
Panda!
And Larry with a subscription. Larry, that's baby, right. we love you, dude. I'm going to be talking to you soon.
That's, so that's my favorite wedding date right there, Panda.
Oh, perfect. Yes. Panda's a sweet soul. Panda's a sweet soul. So the last thing I really want to at all bring any attention to, I think Vecna deserves some accolades here because him as a villain, after the last few villains that we've gotten, villains, quote unquote, that we've gotten in the prior 3 seasons, Vecna was actually horrifying. And like coming into show like Stranger Things and giving us an actual villain that feels like a villain, like a highly intelligent, creepy monster thing that can make you die IRL by hovering his fucking head all over your face. It's like probably one of the most horrifying fucking villains ever to be fucking created. The fat plot twist we got on that on episode 7, is wild. Holy shit, did not see that one coming. But dude, Vecna was just, oh my god. I hope he wins a couple of awards for playing that part because he slayed that fucking character so well. Panda, wait, has everyone seen the entire season? We all have. We're staying away from spoilers in case anyone at home that listens to this in public later on has not yet finished it. We always keep our review spoiler-free.
I mean, are you guys on some time constraints? Because I could talk spoilers after a certain period of time.
As far as like off content or like what do you mean? What are you leading into here?
I'm saying you end the recording and we continue the Twitch stream and talk spoilers.
Oh, I see what you mean. No. I love you, but we're not gonna do it. We get people like jump in here out of nowhere, you know what I'm saying? Guys, join our Discord, talk spoilers in our spoiler section. Media
yeah, we do that.
Panda, okay. Because I was about to be like, he's the best villain. I was gonna say something, but that might be spoilery. Yeah, let's keep away from that. But you're 100% correct. He is so fucking good.
Yeah,
so goddamn good. Anyways, Xander, should people watch this final season? And what do you rate it?
Okay, so we're like what 2 weeks after it's 2 or so weeks. After you know the last bit has released.
Yep.
If you're watching this right now and you haven't caught up to Stranger Things, either
you are working way too fucking much right now and you deserve a break. Mm-hmm. Or you're a fucking idiot because you need to watch the shit right fucking now.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Absolutely, you do. What's your rating of it?
Honestly, this is going to be a first for me. 10 out of 10.
Ladies and gentlemen, Xander gave his first 10 out of 10, baby. Let's fucking go. Let's fucking go. Let's go, dude. Why do you give it a 10 out of 10?
Because it goes all the way back down to just to the writing alone. Like, there's not a single character in this series, especially this season, like, that I don't, like, have some sort of, like, personal connection to. Like, there's every single one. There's even down to fucking Jason in this season, who Jason is also another new character for those who, and he's kind of the jock, but also you see another side of, like, that jock, the typical jock in any other, like, period piece or 80s form of cinema, where it's like, okay, yeah, I get it. I kind of get it. I understand where you're coming from. I understand. You put two and two together. They do it in a way where it's like you don't get a whole lot in terms of, like, you know, a full backstory on him, but you kind of get it, like, that kind of stereotype and then why he is the way he is. And you're just like, yeah, if I were in that position, I'd probably make that decision too. You know, like, yeah. So all of it is just very well written. And I don't think I have ever seen that much of thought and effort into the writing itself in anything else in a long time.
Yeah.
So
yeah. I double that. I'll tell you what. I'll double that. Garrick, should people watch us if they haven't yet? And what do you rate it?
By the way, good morning to everybody but Angela and Jason. But absolutely, like, honestly, like, again, to echo Xander, like, do you have a Netflix subscription, right? Like, you obviously, like, I'm assuming, like, do you have a Netflix subscription? Like, if you have not watched this show, you are sleeping on some of the best television content ever created, period. It is, and it has something to offer to every type of viewer. It is such a good show. The latest season 4, hands down my favorite season of the show, and honestly, I'm gonna give it a 9.5.
All right, I like it. So why the 0.5 less than 10? Because you're almost there. What do you think it's lacking?
Dude, there was that last 30 minutes. Like, there was, like, that 2-day time lapse really irked me. I was just like, okay, there was some things that we really could have seen wrapped up there. Specifically, some things that occurred in Russia that I wanted to see.
Like, sure. Okay. Yeah, that's fair.
And, like, so, like, I felt like we were missing some bits of the story there at the end. And, like, and I understand, like, the way they chose to set that up was 100% with season 5 in mind. But, like, the way they chose to end it was, like, the weakest part of the whole season for me.
Sure. Totally makes sense. Yeah, absolutely. If you haven't seen the season, you definitely should. If you haven't watched Stranger Things yet, you absolutely fucking should. You should binge the fuck out of it ASAP if you have not touched Stranger Things yet. I'm giving this season a 10 out of 10 because I think that this season, this show, generally speaking, but this season specifically, is playing at a caliber that shows like Game of Thrones up until the final season was playing at. Mm-hmm. And I think that is very telling of a story that is about a bunch of nerdy little kids that are in way too deep on some shit that they had no business getting involved in the first place, and making us fall in love with that nostalgic factor to it. This season wrapped up a whole bunch of incredible storytelling that they've been telling us for the past 3 seasons. It gave us multiple characters that are just admirable, extremely well written, extremely well acted. The soundtrack is fucking bonkers good. Vecna is so horrifying, good. And there's something here for everybody, as one Garrick Bartholomew Eaton has said. It is for nerds. It is for people that want a good kid story. It's for people that want a good horror story, good action, good thriller concepts. Like, this show, this season has fucking everything. And I, like, still to, like, 2 weeks later am flabbergasted at the quality, the peak that this show is at when it comes to content, mm-hmm. when it comes to media that we consume. Yeah. And fucking A, dude. Like, you guys probably saw me tweet about it. Like, I really hope that they go into the next season doing something a little bit cool and then just dropping a fucking movie announcement on us, because if they can end this story on a full-fledged, like, 2.5 hour, like, theatrical experience, take my fucking money. Take my goddamn money.
And I will say this, I only award 10 out of 10s to pieces of content that literally have me, like, during the moment, just straight up jumping out of my seat, like, bonkers. Like, this shit had that. And it had
me doing that in episode four. Dude, in episode four, I was like, Max! Like, I was freaking the fuck out, dude.
So stressed out, dude.
This show's goddamn incredible. Panda, I just love the growth of the show. As the kids legit grew up, the show's intensity and horror grew. It's so unreal yet so well written out. Exactly.
That's perfectly.
Go ahead.
That's another thing I was gonna say that they do very well, which is I feel like the main thing as to why the Harry Potter movie series was so great, mm-hmm. and why it goes down, because you grew up with the characters. You really saw that transition where, like, Harry Potter 1 versus, I mean, even, like, Order of the Phoenix is really where it kind of, I mean, a lot of people like to say that it was Goblet of Fire where it kind of had that pivot point. I say, you know, Goblet of Fire as a whole kind of, it was still very much like what we expected from Harry Potter. Mm-hmm. Order of the Phoenix was that pivot point where it's like, oh shit,
got real, we're dark, in the real shit fucking now. Quick. Yeah, right.
Yeah. So, like, you kind of have that with Stranger Things, where you watch the first season, it's a little bit more lighthearted, kind of like that. You know, like you get those darker elements, but at overall, you know, they're still kids. We're experiencing what they're experiencing, and it has that vibe to it, and then it just goes darker and darker as it goes along, and it's one of those things where I feel like more like long-winded series in this vein should keep in mind, because there's a lot of series out there that they don't do that. They don't have that growth, that rich development.
Yeah, that longevity is a second thought, right? But also, fuck TERFs. So,
That's fair.
Yeah.
By the way, I'm going to call this out right now. I found out that my fucking supervisor at work, you out here fucking defending J.K. Rowling like that. I'm like,
sit down.
Excuse the fuck out of me.
Fuck TERFs.
Yeah. You see why I want to get out.
Anyone that has the capacity to defend that fucking woman, fuck you. Fuck you, dude. Like, that's so just fucking beyond me, man. Like, oh, she kind of makes sense. And I'm like, bitch, where?
That's what I'm saying.
Where does she make sense?
Support Good Kraken. Support us on Twitch. Support us creating this content for you guys, because I want to leave my fucking job.
that's the one. And to support us, you guys can check out our schedule for next week. On Tuesday, we have another Good Kraken podcast where we're going to be talking Miss Marvel review. Oh boy, I'm not excited for that. That's gonna be 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 10 p.m. Eastern Time.
I'm not even, I might even cancel my fucking stream just to hop in on
that. Hey, baby Hell boy, yeah. Let's get, let's talk some fucking Ms. Marvel, you know what
let's
I'm saying?
Let's go, dude.
Talk some Kamala Khan, baby. And then Wednesday, we got another Vermillion Voyages coming back after my fucking long month of doing the quarry. I fucking beat it finally. Jesus Christ. Vermillion Voyages, our man Garrick Bartholomew Eaton down here is going to be playing Stray. For all of you at home that love yourself some futuristic kitties, come in, hang out. Bro. Let's be some cats. You know what I'm saying? Meow, meow, meow. You know what I'm saying?
I'm a kitty cat.
Oh, dude, I love the cat from Lightyear.
exactly. Panda, my mom
was 5 minutes.
My mom was surprised I was watching season 4 because I don't do horror, but I legit had to. I felt like I was obligated to watching that season, seeing it through, and I'm glad that I did. I'm glad that you did, too. I'm seriously glad that you fucking did. Jesus Christ. But yes, come in, hang out with Garrick playing Stray. That's going to also be 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time and 10 p.m. Eastern Time. And then next Thursday, we have another Shipwreck Show live recording, and I will be back for this one. Thank goodness. I will be
Let's
here for
go.
That. And we will then be talking about why you guys had to talk about cyborg peepees. Cyborg peepee.
Listen, man, listen, okay? If you have the option to enhance what you can already provide, why not?
Fair argument. And then on Friday, we have an episode of Splash Damage, another multiplayer gameplay streams where we will be playing As Dusk Falls. Now, here's the deal. Consider this a mini captain's order, okay? This is our call out.
Consider the following.
To all of you. As Dusk Falls is a up to 8-player multiplayer narrative driven game, okay? As a Row 96-ish type of game. As some of these like Walking Dead Telltale games. That's something like that, okay? But this game is not controlled by controllers. It is controlled by a companion app via your phone.
You got a phone, don't you?
In which all of the players playing the game together vote for the decisions that they want the character in the game to be making. So we are inviting an extra few people to join us for this stream next Friday, 7 p.m. Pacific time, 10 p.m. Eastern time. If you want to be a part of that, please let us know. Download the companion app once it's available. We'll be letting all of you at home know that do want to join us. Be a part of this. Because this is going to be a fun gameplay stream. This is going to be a lot of fucking fun playing this game. And I'm super fucking stoked for it. So if you guys are interested in that, please hit us up. Panda, yes, absolutely. Let us know. Let us know, you know what I'm saying? And then finally, next Saturday, we'll be doing another Good Kraken podcast. What's up, Xander?
I also do want to add, Ernell, my boy, you are going to join me this Sunday, tomorrow.
Yes.
Tomorrow night.
Yes.
We are going to try out the multiplayer function in the quarry.
We sure are. Now that I've beaten it, I don't have to worry about spoilers, anything like that. I can just go right into it. I had three of my characters died, so I don't know about you, but
you got three. So I know you had Abby. Who are the other two?
Emma. She died first. Emma died first, actually. Emma.
Oh, so you opened the door.
Yeah, I opened the door. Yeah, these fuckers in chat, dude. it's killing me, you know what I'm saying? Killing me. Emma died first. I opened the they voted for the latch door to get open. Abby was my fault. Abby was my fault because I hesitated to
pull the trigger. Oh, yeah, I saw that one.
Yeah, that was all me. That was all me. And then Jacob.
Okay. I think from where I saw you were at last,
I didn't take that.
That's a tough one.
Yeah.
But I'm excited to see how a multiplayer function goes because it's up to what, 7-8 people?
For As Dusk Falls or the
for,
quarry?
For the quarry.
I think it's 7, one for each character.
It's one per seven? Camper. Yeah.
Yeah.
Essentially. There you go. Yeah. So guys, if you have the quarry, join us. I would be down for that. Please
come hang out. Let's
also Ernell, real quickly, yes. Before you announce what we're doing on Saturday, did you forget what comes out next Thursday and why are we not reviewing it? It is our most watched reaction.
Oh, nope comes out next Thursday.
Next Thursday.
Nope comes out next Thursday.
And it wasn't on our release calendar.
GK podcast next Saturday. We'll be doing Nope review. Let's fucking go. That'll be 12 p.m. Pacific time, 3 p.m. Eastern time. Panda says that Panda will be home in time. Panda, keep your eye open in our Discord. We'll be sending out notices once that app goes live so everybody can be prepared for that. So everyone at home, please let us know what you thought of season 4 of Stranger Things. Let us know if you loved it. Let us know if you fell in love with Eddie Munson. Let us know if you enjoyed that movie long fucking final episode that we got out of that, and tell us what you guys want out of season 5. And then let us know. Let us know. We want to hear from you guys. We want to hear everything you guys have to feel about it. Let us know on Discord. Let us know on Twitter. And let us know here live on Twitch, because this has been the Good Kraken Podcast, your choice for all the nerdy video game and pop media news, reviews, and discussions that you want to hear.
Frank, that soldier, boy.
Live every Tuesday at 7 p.m. and Saturday at 12 p.m. right here at twitch.tv/goodkrakenshow. If you enjoy the show, you can head on over to our Discord channel where you can submit questions and topics to the show, get exclusive post-show content, and soon enough, have early access episodes before they go live on podcasts and video services across the digital sea.
Yarg.
Thank you. You can also support us by going to our YouTube channel, by clicking that beautiful bell and big red button, or by subscribing to our podcast channel by searching Good Kraken with an exclamation mark and leaving a review there. We got to get head on out of here. But until next time, my friends, be good to each other.
And Robin, this is music.
It is music. You're killing me.